Welcome, folks. Such a privilege for me to be able to share the word with you tonight. And tonight's message is titled David's Commitment. Now, it could also be titled David's Confessions, but let's stick with commitments. Last year, a young man came to me in the town we were pastoring, which is Hopefield, and he was 17 years old. He's a young man, and he came to me and he said, "Mac, I have a big problem with porno, with sexual immorality, and I feel so guilty, and I feel so ashamed, and I really would like you to give me advice, to pray with me, to counsel me." And he said, I'm in the hostel, and the other boys with me in the hostel are constantly looking at pornography on their cell phones. And then I asked him, "But how many of the boys aren't?" And he said, "Very little. Most of them are drawn into it and get hooked by it and get caught up by it." And so I started chatting with him and gave him some tools and keys. And a few weeks later, I had another meeting with him, and he came to me and he said, "Mac," he said, "you know what? I run away from it, and I choose to live for God. I choose to be holy because I want to honor God. I want to sleep clean. I want to feel clean. I want to feel pure. I want to feel holy. I want to know I'm in right stead with God. I want no conviction. I want no condemnation, not conviction. I want no condemnation of myself. I'm a new person, and when they put on their cell phones, I walk out the room. When they come to me, I say, I will not look at that. You know the decisions I've made." And there's something so beautiful about a young man and a young woman. Not that it's not beautiful about an older man, older woman. But for me, it's more beautiful about a young man and a young woman that says, "As for me and myself, I will stand for God. As for me and myself, I will serve my God unashamedly, not compromising, standing out for my King and my Lord." Now, if we go look at Psalm 101, verses 2, the first part, the A part, it says, David makes these commitments in Psalm 101. He makes his confessions. He says, "I will be careful to live a blameless life." He says, "I want to live a blameless life before God." And my challenge to myself and to you tonight is I want to challenge you to live a blameless life for the next 40 days during the holidays. We know how temptation creeps in. Amen. How easily it comes through various avenues to grip us, to trip us. This is a slag-eister. Once it's got you, it's very hard to get out of that trap. And I want to challenge us to say this thing that David says, "I want to live, I will be careful to live a blameless life for the next 30, 40, 50 days until I get back where I'm amongst my brothers and sisters." If you're not going to be amongst Christians the next 30, 40, 50 days, then you must find a way. We're going to discuss tools tonight in how to walk the straight and narrow, how to be proud of that which you stand for. To say, "As for me and myself, I will serve the Lord." That which Joshua said about him and his family. Psalm 101:2, the third part, the C part, it says, "I will lead a life of integrity in my own home." Paul David says, now we know David made mistakes. Amen. So at least you know you can make mistakes. There is forgiveness. There is reconciliation. There is accepting you back. There's a loving father with big wide arms that says, "Come back, my son." But despite all the mistakes, all the faults that David had, he decided he wants to live a blameless life. He decided, "I want to live a life of integrity in my own home." All right, he starts off this psalm. Those aren't the first two verses. It's verse 2a and 2c. But he starts off the psalm with a commitment. And he says, "I will sing of your love and justice. I will praise you, Lord, with songs. I will sing of your love and justice. I will praise you, Lord, with songs. So before he makes the commitment of saying, I want to live a blameless life, he starts off with a song. He says, I want to sing to my God of two things. And those two things are keys in our lives in standing strong in the midst of adversity, of temptation. These two things are key because he mentions them. And he says, because I can sing songs of gratefulness of my God's love and his justice, I will be able to stand blameless. I will be able, we'll read the next verses, to keep to these commitments that I'm making to my God. His commitment to holiness is founded. It is rooted, can only stand strong in turning and focusing gratefulness to God for his love and justice. That's the key. That's the key tonight. We're going to discuss more about that. One then can say to lose track of God's love and commitment to justice will trip you up on the road to holiness. He says, I want to live a life that is where I will sing thankfulness for God's love and his justice. The opposite's also true. If you aren't aware, if you're not tapped into the love of God and his justice to you, and if you cannot be grateful for it, then the chance is very good that you'll be tripped up by temptations. And it'll be very hard for you to stay on the road of holiness. When you doubt his love for you, his acceptance of you, his commitment towards you, you will seek it elsewhere. Amen. If you doubt God's love for you, God's commitment to you, God's justice in your life, then you will go seek that acceptance. You'll go seek that love somewhere else, in the wrong places. You'll seek affirmation, aanvaarding, erkenning from other people, from doing and thinking other things except the things of God. You'll go run after acceptance from other people. I knew a man, I still know him, I haven't spoken to him for some time, but he was an extremely harsh man. He still is harsh. But he would always criticize his son, and his son would never smile. He was always under the father's condemnation. He was always under his father's pointing his finger to the son and saying, you're not good enough, you're not fast enough, you're working not well enough. And he just criticized the son. And I had the privilege of walking a road with this man for 6 months in the hope to turn, to change, because he was hurting a lot of other people. And at one stage, I felt the Holy Spirit say to him, say to this man the following words, Jou seun soek jou erkenning. And he stopped. He looked at me. And he said, is it so? I said, yes. Your son is yearning for your acceptance, your acknowledgement. Then he's going to change. Then something's going to click within him. And he's not going to do things for you out of fear, but he's going to do things for you because of love and respect for you. Because you accept him with his faults, with his mistakes. And a few weeks later, we had another meeting, and he said to me, you know what? I've started giving my son recognition, and I see a change. I see something changing in his. And the recognition from a father is love from a father. And love from a father changes our behavior. It's from within, outward. It's not an ungeplakte thing. It's not a thing, I'm putting on a jacket, I want to be holy. It must come from within. It must be an internal desire, a yearning. My God, I want to live for you because I know you love me. I know you care for me. Nothing else matters. Ephesians 3:17 says the following. And this is a prayer that you can pray for yourself. It's a prayer you can pray for your family. But Paul prays this for the church of Ephesus. He says, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts. Is Christ at home in your heart, brother and sister? Or does he sometimes feel uncomfortable in your heart? I think my God feels uncomfortable sometimes in my heart. Because sometimes I think wrong things. And sometimes I do wrong things. So he says, I pray that God will become more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. There's a key. For God to become more and more at home in your heart, you need to trust him that he will forgive you. He has grace. He has got love for you. Because you trust him, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Your roots and my roots need to penetrate the love of God. We need to get our source from the love of God. We need to get our nutrition, our minerals, our water, our very sustenance from the love of God. You cannot trust God unless you have tasted. Do this. Taste. Taste. I'm going to taste this water. I'm thirsty. Anybody want water? You can come fetch. I'll share my little bottle key with you. Okay. You cannot trust God unless you have tasted beyond a shadow of a doubt. Beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus loves you. The more you grow in the realization of his love and commitment to you, the more you will rely and trust and put confidence in him. This is the foundation to living a blameless life. Is to being rooted in his love. Otherwise, it's a religious act trying to be holy. As aangeplak, it's not genuine. You need to go find the love of God. You need to go search and seek. You must smag daarna. There's not a lekker English word like smag. Can somebody help me? What is smag in Engels? Yearn. It doesn't say it as smag. Smag. All right. Jy moet smag na God se liefde. Because then you can say, I'm becoming rooted. And as I'm becoming rooted in the Most High God, I'm learning to trust him. I'm learning to stand upon him. And as I'm learning to be confident in my God, I can say no to temptation. Because my source of my strength, the source of my inner being comes from the love of God, the acceptance, the power, the beauty, the kindness of the Most High God. I was a missionary for some years. And I was sitting with a couple that I invited to a meal. We were part in a base, and every Sunday we would have a meal for anybody that wanted to come and have a meal lunchtime on Sunday lunch. You would pay, obviously, and we generate income at this mission base in Pretoria. And I invited this couple because they'd become my friends. And in that time, I'd been asking the Lord. I'd been saying, Lord, show me your love. I can't really say, because God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. You know that verse? I couldn't really honestly say that I loved God, because how do I love God? God, I can't see him. I feel him. I can't, you know, he's abstract, he's there, but yet he's abstract. And I was battling. I was 22 years old at that stage. And I was battling with this thing of loving God. And I can't say I really love him. I can appreciate him, yes. And I don't really know his love. You know, I said, God, show me your love so that I might love you. Because I really want to live out this verse. Because I'm being convicted by the verse. I cannot live this verse that says, love the Lord your God. I appreciate you. Yes, I'm thankful for that which you've done for me. Yes, massively. But can I truly say that I love God? And so I invited this couple, and this was between me and the Lord in my personal relationship with him. And I invited this couple, and they had a newborn baby, 4 or 5 months old. And I was sharing wonderful testimonies from the mission field. I was a missionary there full time. And I was doing the research of the mission. So we would get a powerful and the one testimony I'll share with you, baie aangrypend, this very powerful testimony. And this testimony is about a Vietnamese man, and he'd gone to this village, and I was sharing this stuff with him, you know. And he'd gone to this village and he was preaching the gospel fearlessly. And they didn't like what he was saying, so they took him and they beat him to a pulp. And they threw rocks, they fastened bags of rocks upon him and they threw him in the river to drown him. And while he was singing in the water, the next minute this yellow light appeared and he could breathe underwater. And I was sharing this stuff with him. It's lekker, it's gripping you. I'm coming to a point here. And this true story. And this guy came down the river and he was washed on the riverbanks. And guess what? He walked right back to them. And the whole village got saved. He couldn't even see through his eyes. They was beaten to a pulp. Hy kon nie sien as hulle het klaar skreef die oogies. Imagine how much skreef is hulle toe. So, sorry, no offense, love you all. So now he's beaten. So he walks back and they say, this is a ghost. He's been risen from the dead. And they all give their lives. I'm sharing this stuff. Now halfway through this amazing story, the baby goes, how does a baby cry? The baby starts, I can't even try to cry a baby's cry. So the baby starts crying. How does a baby cry? Okay. So the baby starts crying. And I lose all of their attention. It's like I'm talking into the air. This amazing story, they don't care about what I'm sharing about this amazing, powerful testimony. I've lost them. And all their attention is upon Bubus. And God says, when you cry, I'm there. You are the center of my attention. I love you. I'm besotted with you. I care for you. Like those parents, that whole baby's existence is determined, is maintained by the parents, so too, you have my full attention. That's how much. Those parents, their love is a little bit of the massive love that I have for you, my son. And there began my journey in discovering the love of God. Now the psalmist David says, I want to live a blameless life, but the foundation of me living a blameless life is knowing, is singing, being grateful for the love of God that I've tasted, experienced, become part of my life. And that's become my source, that I can say no to temptation, that I can say no to the delicacies that Satan gives me on a tray. The delicacies that Satan gives us is lovely chocolates, but in the middle of the chocolate is poison. What's that poison that kills you instantly called? Arsen? Arsenic. So it's this beautiful, I'm actually English by the way, but this beautiful chocolate, and inside it is arsenic. But it looks lovely. Enemy never comes as a wolf. He comes as a wolf dressed as sheep. He doesn't come with who he is. He comes hidden. And he wants to trip every one of us up. He wants to trap us. John 4, 16, the first part, 1 John 4:16a says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. For God is love. There's a difference about knowing God's love and relying on His love. When you rely on God's love, you needn't ever stress about anything, because God will take care of everything. How many of you have stressed today once? Be honest. Julle jok, steek julle hande op. If you really rely on the love of God, then you won't stress, because you know that you know Daddy loves me. So too, have a sufficient inner resolve. To have a sufficient inner resolve and strength to withstand temptation, you have to be rooted in His love for you. Now, what does rooted mean? Let's think about this verse. And it says it in all the translations. Being rooted, this Ephesians verse, being rooted in the love of God. When you are rooted in something, you are made secure. Amen? When a plant has roots into the soil and the rocks between the soil, does that plant blow over at every wind, every confusion, every storm? Or does that plant stand? It stands because it's rooted. It's safe. It has a sure footing. It has a sure foothold. So God is saying, if you are rooted in my love, a naked woman can give herself to you and you'll say, no, thank you. Guys, imagine this beautiful woman comes to you and she strips in front of you. Sorry, I'm being so blatant. And she says, here I am. If you are not rooted in God, you will fall. Amen? Of Aina. Come on, talk to me. I love it when people talk back to me. I don't like cheeky people, but I like it when people talk back to me. I don't want to go into that one. All right. So you have a sure footing, a sure foothold in the love of the Most High God. Whatever comes to you, you can say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. I'm going to read the next thing to us. To be rooted in His love is not to have the need to be rooted in anything else. When you really are rooted in the love of God, you have no need to be rooted in sport. You have no need to be rooted in anything else. In acceptance, opinion, good opinion of other people. In a lovely body. Not that a lovely body is wrong. But you need no other root when you are rooted in the love of God. Amen. Because you're rooted in the most. You have no need to be rooted in anything else. Not to have the need for any other safety, affirmation, erkenning, acceptance, escape, or pleasure. When you're rooted in the love of God, God's all the pleasure you need. God's all the acceptance, all the affirmation you need. You're safe, you're secure, you're strong in the Most High God. You needn't be rooted or run to sexual promiscuity for satisfaction and contentment. So the root problem, guys, I believe, for us falling so easily is we've not really tasted and seen the love of God. Because when God's love consumes you, you'll have a resistance. You'll have this war where you will not fall for this stuff because you'll know your God. There's a song that says, an old song that we sang it the other morning in the prayer meeting. I was so blessed that many of you knew this song. It says, turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Him. Look full in His wonderful face. And when you look at Him, you see His love penetrates you, it fills your heart. And then suddenly the things of the earth grow strangely dim. How many of you have been so full of God that no amount of temptation affects you? Who's experienced that? You are so consumed with God. I mean, if it's a lady and a person comes to you and says to you, I'll give you a house, I'll furnish it, I'll give you all the materialistic desires you have, you'll say, if it's not from God, I don't want it. You're a man and somebody comes to you, I'll give my body to this beautiful woman or whatever you want, or money, power, position. You say, if it's not from God, I don't want it. Because the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Now there's a second part here. Psalm 101 verse 1 says, it also speaks of singing of His justice. Should come on the teleprompter, yeah. I will sing of your love and justice. I will praise you, Lord, with songs. To be secure in His love is to know He is just, even though you do not understand the terrible injustice being done to you presently or in the past. Now that's a tough thing to eat. That's a tough thing to chew on. And I had to chew on it for many years, and I believe it will still happen in the future. But I've learned some lessons from this problem or this challenge. I was working with other ministers of the gospel, and there was extreme unfairness towards myself and my wife. And we kept forgiving, we kept turning the other cheek, but it was very gross. It was extremely in our face, blatant. Two ministers, and they were related. And we had to grapple and work through major injustice done to myself and my wife. And we had to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And then after 2 or 3 years of going through that, and the Lord moved us out of that scene, and I said, "Lord, but why?" And God said the following to me: "To deal with your pride and wrongly place securities in your anointing." You were proud, my son. Jy het te veel van jouself gedink, maar jy kon dit nie raak sien nie. Ek het daai mans gebruik om jou af te breek. Dis my wil. To sort you out. Because you would not hear me. You would not see it. You were so caught in that trap of, oh, I'm this anointed missions guy, and I'm this anointed this and this and that and that. And I use them as my furnace blowers, as my metal workers upon your life. It could have gone much easier had you let go much easier. But it didn't go much easier, because you didn't let go as I wanted you to let go. So, is it just when you're going through something like that? How many of us doubt God's justice? When we're being mistreated, ignored, pushed out, not promoted, not seen. But you see, when you start doubting God's justice, you're not rooted in His love, firstly, and you go and find escape where? Talk to me. Where do you escape to? Porno. Materialism. Promiscuity. Food. I've escaped to that a lot. Escape to exercise. Fitness freak. Help me. We go to other things because we doubt God's justice, and we doubt God's justice because we are not what in His love? Rooted. If the only thing you take with you home tonight is God, the prayer that says, "God, show me your love for me," then this preach was a success. It's all that you take home. Lord, let your love for me become my greatest reality. Psalm 101 verse 2 says the following. It speaks of being careful. Careful to live a blameless life. For us to go into this time of resting, this coming time of rest, and some of us will be in missions, and some of us will be missions and rest, outreach and rest, is not to go into spiritual laid-backness. Because when you are laid back, the enemy takes you out. Who does a lion hunt in a pack of wildebeest? Does he go for the strong ones? Does he go for the nucleus of the pack? Or does he go for the weak, the younger ones on the outer skirts? He goes for the weak ones, the younger ones. He goes for the ones that can't keep up. He goes for the ones that are laid back, that aren't driven enough to stay in the pack, that fall backwards. Some of them are sick, okay. It's not their fault. But he goes for the weak. So now you must know the enemy is out there to take you out. He's there to take you out. Jy moet geestelik op aandag staan. Jy moet paraat wees in die tyd wat voorloop, wat voorlê. Otherwise, the enemy will take you out. Psalm 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, Satan walks around like a roaring lion wanting to devour you. wanting to devour anyone. He's walking around and he wants to take you out. So you have to be careful, even though you are rooted and singing of the gratefulness for his love. Even though you've tasted his love, it doesn't mean you can lay back. It doesn't mean you can be lazy in your spiritual walk. It means you must put in more effort. Use the time available now to get to know your God. You are a target number one to the enemy. He wants to trip you up. He wants to catch you in his trap. The next point's powerful. Listen to this. He wants to set your calling back. If you fall now, December and January, you don't know how it will affect God's calling upon your life. My people die because of a lack of knowledge and a lack of vision. You know you are called by the Lord, and each one of you are called. That should keep you on the straight and narrow. That you're not open to being tripped up by the enemy. Because that will set your calling back. Het gaan het vertraag. Wie wil hê sy roeping moet vertraag word? Al is jy nie vertraag nie. Wie wil hê, who wants their calling to be postponed? Who wants it? None of us. We want to live our calling out as God gives it to us. You don't want to wait another couple of years. It will destroy your testimony. If you aren't careful in living a blameless life, it will destroy your testimony to others. The enemy will use you to hurt others, to weaken their faith and their infant trust in God, because a lot of people look up to you without you even realizing it. Even your, I'm not saying it's all, this is, it's not in all our cases like this, but even your parents that might be criticizing you, your brother and sister, your uncle, your aunt, Vies, yay, who are you, shofar? Yes. You're a sect, man. What are you guys up to? Even them, they look up to you. They'll never acknowledge it, but deep down in their heart, they see a change in you. They see you standing for the kingdom. They see you saying, as for me and my life, I will serve God. I'm not going to bow my knee to the stuff that I bowed my knee previously to. Luke 17 verse 2 says, it would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall into sin. This scripture has kept me away from lots of wrong things. It's a very serious warning. Don't mess up with my children. Don't mess up with yourself. Don't be an offense to somebody else. Don't cause them to fall into sin. Don't lure them into your lack of being rooted in God's love. Go seek the love of God, that it can change you from within. How is David going to live a blameless life is the next heading. What is his strategy? Let's go look at it. Psalm 101, 2, the second part says, I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. So David says, my strategy is to lead a life of integrity in my own home. What is your own home? Your own home is your private life, your private world, your private space where no one can see you, where no one is with you, is your own home. It starts in your thought world. I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. That refers to your thought world, because nothing starts unless it starts in your thoughts. Amen. It starts up here. So in my thought world, I need to live a life of integrity. In my inner world, a person of integrity is to do the right thing when no one is watching. That's what integrity means. It's to do the right thing when you cannot be caught out. So in my own home, I want to live a blameless life. So in my own home is doing the right thing when nobody is watching. Is to think the right thing when God is always listening. That's integrity. To think the right thing when God is always listening. Nothing you say misses God's attention. He's there, right there, young man, when you're doing the wrong things. He's watching you. That stopped me many times. Have you thought of angels always with you? Guardian and warning angels. And while you're busy doing the wrong things in the shower and the bath, who's watching? An angel. God's with you. That should stop you. Some fear of the Lord. But that doesn't help if it's from outside in. And it's, you must become what in what? Rooted in His love. So it can be within out. Okay. Philippians 4. I haven't got the verse here. Help me. Philippians 4:8, I think. Okay. Fix your thoughts. Yeah, 4:8, the second part. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I want to challenge each one of us to memorize this verse. Let this be the filter for any thought you think. Before you think any thoughts of injustice being done to you, before you think of any thoughts of lust or materialism or fitness fanatic or whatever, think this, say this to yourself. Let me fix my thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. Amen. Let me think about things like that. So the first one, the first strategy of David is his private life. He's going to let the love that he experiences from God, the love that is rooted in, affect and influence his private life. The second thing that he wants to affect, and we're going to get to it right now. Let's first read Psalm 101:3, the first part. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. David says it. Now he looked at Bathsheba. So he's got some lessons he can teach us. The first bit of, I believe, porno in the book and the word. He looked at Bathsheba. She was nude. She was bathing. So I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. So the second thing that he says I need to address with the love that I've been rooted in with God is my visual life. My visual life, that which I look at. So movies is number one here. Every man and every woman cannot look at a movie with an S and N and L for language and not be affected. You're not strong enough. See, us and I are not strong enough. And we've been on the road longer than you have. Not that we're better. You have to watch out what comes in through these two eyes. You need to stop it, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Because tonight I want to challenge you to say, my God, as for me and my life, I want to live a blameless life. Holy, honoring unto you. So movies, guys, you cannot watch rated, I know, PG or boring, but you, watch it. If you need to watch a movie, even they suggest wrong things. Rather get a referral from somebody before you watch something. Movies, TV, magazines. Internet is a big weakness because internet destroys your integrity. You can do it without anybody knowing about it. It's your private world, your own world. It's easy to slip up in internet. Don't get rooted in the love of God that He fills you up, that when you look into His wonderful face, the things of this world grow strangely dim. The things of porno grow strangely dim. It has no effect, no hook on your life. If you know something like materialism is a weakness, then avoid shopping centers. If you can't help buying things that aren't really necessary, the ladies aren't guilty of this, hey? Avoid shopping centers. If you know a pretty girl is a problem to you and you're on the beach, if you see with the corner of your eye she's coming, she's going to walk in front of you, then turn your head. Listen to me, guys. Turn your head or talk to somebody right here. Or pick up the book and read the book. Fight the flesh and say, God, let me think of things that are. Then you say this, true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. Consume my heart, my mind with these things. You know that self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And to control stuff from coming into your eyes, you need a lot of Holy Spirit self-control. Stand on guard over what you allow to enter your life, your mind, your soul through your eyes. I know a pastor that shared this thing with me some many years ago when I was a teenager. He said to me, he said, Mac, when there's a pretty girl coming towards me and I'm about to start thinking wrong thoughts, I start praying for her. And when I start praying for her, all temptation disappears. Because I can't pray for somebody and lust after them. Have you tried that? It doesn't work. Because when you start praying, you're inviting God. And your spirit is connecting to God's spirit. And then temptation hasn't got a foothold on you. And has to go out by the back door because you are interceding for this person that's coming towards you. This beautiful girl, or what? You start praying for her salvation and for her hurt and pain, because each one walks with some pain around and issues in our lives and families. Do you know that people that act in porn movies are broken? They're broken people. Those girls have been molested. That's why they got no respect for their bodies. Those men have been abused. They got no respect for their bodies. They're broken people, and we cannot allow ourselves to enjoy ourselves at the expense of somebody that is broken. Because you're a child of God. I dare not live out fantasies on somebody else's brokenness, their pain. I dare not do that. It desensitizes you to the value of another human being. It makes that which God has wanted to be pure and holy and beautiful between a man and a woman after marriage, it makes it cheap. It makes it without commitment, without covenant. It makes a mockery of our relationship with God. Because your intimacy with your wife represents your intimacy with God. You are God's wife. Men, I know it's hard, but we are His wife. We're going to become His wife, His bride. It's going to be a big marriage feast of the Lamb of God. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, I see it as God kissing you, embracing you spiritually. The enemy goes and he makes a mockery of that by making it cheap and flirty and all the other stuff. Ted Bundy killed more than 40 people. He's in maximum jail. He was put up for death sentence. How many of you heard of Ted Bundy? Most of you have heard about him. But the beginning of his problem to ending up killing and eating people, he put pieces in the fridge. He ate them. It's terrible. He said the beginning started with porno. And he said all those inmates, you can go ask them, they have the same testimony. Because what porno does, it desensitizes you to the value of another human being. It gets you to a place where you can use somebody and throw them away. Like a piece of paper that you write on and throw away. I wanted to say something else, but it's not the right thing to say right now. From the pulpit, another paper. So, we cannot put that value on a human life. Okay, the third. So the second is your visual life. David says, my strategy is my visual life. The first one was my private life. The third one is, I need to wrap up. The third one is, 101, Psalm 101:3, the second part says, I hate all crooked dealings. The thing that I need to be cautious of, to live a blameless life, my strategy, David says, is regarding my agreements, crooked dealings. Now, what are agreements? Agreements is, who do I yoke myself with? With who am I in friendship with? Who am I yoked with? With who am I in agreement with? There's a big difference between reaching out and hanging out. Big difference. You cannot hang out with the people you're supposed to reach out to. And you, vice versa, it also doesn't work. The people you're reaching out to are those that are backslidden, that don't know the Lord. You don't hang out with them because they will pull you down. It doesn't mean you must stop reaching out to them. But you cannot relax and have party and friends with people that are going to pull you away from God. You relax and hang out with those at your spiritual level and higher. Avoid hanging out with people that you're supposed to reach out to. Now, in some cases, we got no option. We have to be Christmas and those times with family. But then be on your guard. Don't let your guard down. If you're forced to hang out with people that aren't your spiritual level or higher, then even use that party time as an opportunity to reach out. Always use every opportunity to make a difference for the kingdom. Every opportunity comes by, and it only comes by sometimes once. Even though the guy is drunk, talk spiritual stuff to him. You don't know what goes into his spirit. Agreements refers to, do I agree to lie to cover up? No, I cannot agree to lie to cover up. Do I decide not to share all the necessary truth? When Holy Spirit convicts me, I must share all the truth. Do I agree to illegal transactions? No. Part of David's strategy is agreements. It's that verse, I hate all crooked dealings. I will not be part of any agreement, any contract, any relationship that will destroy my testimony. Psalm 101 verse 5, the first part. A, I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbor. And that refers to very simple things. So once you've checked out your agreements with whoever you got agreements, the next one is your verbal life. What comes out your mouth? Guard your mouth. This applies to your parents and family, brothers and sisters. Do not fall into the trap at shouting and screaming at them this holiday. Because the enemy will use them to provoke you. And you might even end up starting to swear at them. Don't fall into that trap. Just say, it's all right. It's fine. Goodbye. I turn. Go to your room or go walk on the grass or just get out of that presence where there's a fight. How many of you come out of families that generally fight over Christmas time? Jylle jok daarom is baie meer. Steek op. Be honest. See us? Jy het al gesê. Come. Yeah. Holy rollers here. No. Be honest. There's usually a fight Christmas time. Before, after. Amen. Avoid it. Watch out what comes out of your mouth. Be cautious. Next one. So it's verbal life. It's agreement life, it's visual life, and it's private life. Now, Psalm 101, 5b. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will not endure. The key word is endure, and it refers to the thought of tolerance. I will have no tolerance in myself, first and foremost. Before I point a finger to others' pride and conceit, I will not allow any tolerance for my own pride. And not to have tolerance for pride and conceit is being open to correction. If you're fighting your pride and your conceit, you're saying, I'm willing to be open to be corrected. Aina and amen. I'm willing to be corrected. I'm willing to apologize. Who struggles to say sorry? Honest man. Oh, there's a lot of honest people tonight in the house. So you want to fight your pride and your conceitedness, you must be willing to say sorry. You must have a teachable heart, especially from the people that are closest to you, because they just call a spade, and it hurts. But if you're rooted in His love, it should hurt less, because you have His love. You have His acceptance. So get to find out His love for you, that you can be rooted in His love. So the father and mother, brothers and sisters, tolerate when they nail you. Jesus tolerated the nailing. Did he not? And he asks of us to tolerate. What do we tolerate and what don't we tolerate? A last one. Psalm 101 verse 6. I will keep a protective eye on the godly. I will keep a protective eye on the godly. What is that? The key word there is protection. To protect the godly is to be a testimony and an example of the godly and the name of Jesus Christ. To protect the godly is to stand for the godly, not to destroy the testimony that you live for, not to destroy the testimony that you stand for towards others. That's to protect the name of Christ, protect the kingdom of God. Don't hurt the name of Christ by our lifestyle. Then you do injury to the kingdom, and you do not protect his name when your lifestyle is not in line with his kingdom. To protect the godly is to protect the name of Christ and to live for Christ before you fall for temptation. Surround yourself with godly people to strengthen, uplift yourself in your most holy faith. If there's no godly people this Christmas time, there's nobody that really loves the Lord as you think they should, or not that you're thinking you're better than them, but you're going to have a tough time this holiday, then keep connected with your brothers and sisters through cell phone, through SMS, through phone calls, through WhatsApp, through quiet times. Keep your source open. Keep your roots in the soil, in the water of God's love. It's a very important announcement that I need to make before we wrap up. And that is, there's a baptism this coming Wednesday, 5:30 at Sias's house. Before I forget it, 5:30, Sias's house, baptism. Folks, the strategy that David has is, God, let my love consume my private life. Your love consume my private life. Lord, let your love consume my visual life. Lord, let your love consume any agreements that I'm into. Lord, let your love consume my tolerance. Lord, let your love consume my verbal life. Lord, let your love consume the way I protect your name and the honor of your name. Let's close our eyes. Father, we just want to thank you for tonight. We want to worship you and glorify you. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts tonight. Let us stay quiet for a few moments as the Holy Spirit ministers to us.
Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And there's a freedom to worship you. Thank you tonight, Lord, for the ability to be rooted in Christ, in your love. And you said, Lord, like Psalm 1 says, we will be a tree planted by living waters. And we'll bear fruit in our season and in the right time, because our source, Lord, comes from you. And tonight, Lord, we want to turn away from everything else that has become our source. We thank you for your love, and we thank you that your eyes are always fixed on us. And even as we're sitting here tonight, Lord, we thank you for that freedom. We thank you, Lord, that your love consumes us. Thank you, Lord, that your love covers a multitude of sins. Thank you that your love draws us. Thank you that the love of the cross and what you portrayed on the cross, Lord, breaks any barrier and any distance. Because you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son. And tonight, Lord, we want to be rooted in Christ again. Especially for some of us, Lord, here that are doing all the things on the outside, but our hearts are far from you. We have backslidden, we've walked away. We've looked at so many other things, Lord, that has become our source. But tonight we come to turn to you. Tonight we want to say yes again to your love. But we want to turn away from our old ways, from things that have just become the norm. And tonight we're going to ask you very boldly that's what repentance means. It means to turn back to God, turn away from the road that you're walking on, and you turn back 180 degrees straight to God. Don't try and fix yourself. Don't try and be good. Don't try and be spiritual. Just turn back to God. Metanoia, 180 degrees. Change of mind and a change of action. So tonight, if there's even stuff in your life that has come to take a hold of your life and you need to repent. Repentance is a beautiful thing. It draws us close to God. It washes us clean. And tonight you just feel like these things have got a hold on you, then you need to break it. You need to come to God and say to God, God, tonight I want to be free. I want you to open up this prison door so that I can know you and be rooted in your love. I'm going to ask us to stand. And when you stand, and tonight God is speaking to you and he's been speaking to you, your roots are not in the love of God. And you need to repent. Maybe for the first time you need to come to God. Then as we're going to stand, I'm going to ask you to come straight to the front and just walk straight up here. Because we need to pray. You need to, and we do it specifically like that, because you need to tell God how serious you are about turning away. He's already come to the cross. He's already come to the earth. He's come to show us how serious he is. But there comes a time where you symbolically step out from where you are and you say, okay, God, I'm going to meet you on your terms. I want to receive your love, but I'm going to come to you. Lord, I'm going to walk away from my backsliddenness, Lord. So let's all stand. And as we do that, if God is speaking to you, maybe not just about coming to him for the first time or you're backslidden, but maybe tonight you know that there's stuff that has got a hold on your life and you need to repent. We're going to ask you to be very bold. Just come and join us right here in front. Just step out from where you are. If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand and say, look here, I'm not going to let the devil lie to me. I'm not going to fall for this trap anymore. But I'm going to agree. I'm going to walk in God's ways. So I know it's a bold step you need to take. If God is speaking to you, quickly come out. Just walk out and take somebody's hand. We're going to wait for you. If God is speaking to you, just come quickly. There's some people responding. Just come. Don't let your pride stand in the way of you receiving the gift of salvation and life with God. Won't you come quickly? Just take somebody's hand and say, look here, I'm walking out from where I am. And God, I'm meeting you on your terms. I'm beginning to say yes to the call of God on my life. Because it's not just about the sin. The thing about the sin is that it misses the call of God. Misses the bullseye. That's the word for sin, is to miss God's purpose. Miss his life for you. Miss his destiny for you and for us. So quickly, won't you just come? Just come and stand right here in front, because tonight we're going to say yes to God. We're going to, because it's really his grace that does it. We're going to ask a second group of people to come. People that are afraid of failure and of not making it because you've got so many bad testimonies in your life. You backslide a lot. You just get these emotional ups and downs and these spiritual ups and downs. And when you stand and tonight you've heard that, yo, there's a whole holiday, everything inside of you just says, no, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to actually fail. I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to try to pick up the pieces again, because I'm going in an environment where maybe it's scary, or maybe if that's your environment or that's your way of thinking, we need to pray with you, and we're going to come in agreement over your life that you're going to come back stronger. You're going to come back more in Christ than ever before, because of God's grace. So if that is you, you're afraid of that, and there's like these accusations, and you have maybe even, you know, you just like think, whoa, what if I'm not going to make it? What if I, you know, all these what if questions, the unbelief and the confusion. I want you to step out and come and meet us right here in front. Come right here. There's a little red line here, because we need to anoint you, and we're going to break those lies over your life. You know, because you maybe have got a very bad environment that you come to and come from. need to go to, and everything inside of you just says, no, my family is too bad, but God is bigger. God is bigger than our circumstances. So why don't you just step out? I know there's a lot of you and you need to come quickly. Just take your pride, put it in your pocket and say to God, God, your grace is sufficient. God, tonight, we're going to anoint you. We're going to pray over you. So as we're going to pray with these people, if God is speaking to you, don't resist the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just come quickly to the front on this side. And we're going to pray over you, because you are not going to backslide and you are not going to just mellow or survive over the holidays. Okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to do something very strong now with everybody, I feel. You're going to tell somebody else in this room, just as we finish praying for them, how are you going to be accountable? Does that sound nice enough, Mac? Okay? How are you going to be accountable over the holidays? Okay? And who are you going to be accountable with? And what are your spiritual goals to grow over these holidays? So we're going to take 2 minutes and we're going to do that. And then we're going to pray for each other, everybody in this room, because many people go home and we just veg from God and we just like, you know. But you need to have a plan. You need to have a goal and say, Lord, I want to read through the New Testament. I want to be blameless when I come back, Lord. But I want to actually grow. I don't want to just vegetate or survive. So I want you to start thinking about that as we're going to pray for these people. So will you ladies and guys, stand just with your hands like this, and we're gonna pray together, commit our lives to Christ. Guys, let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, tonight I stand before you, a sinner, ashamed and guilty and condemned. But I come to you because you have shown me the way of life. You are the life. You are the way. And you are the truth. And tonight, I turn away from my old ways. And I repent of my sins and the fact that I am a sinner. I need a Savior. And I cry out to you tonight, Lord. Come and save me. Renew me, restore me, and bring me, Lord, to a place of being a child of God. Forgive me, Lord, for I am a sinner. I am a backslider, and I've turned my back on you. But I thank you that your love is always towards me. So I turn to you. Save me, forgive me, wash me clean tonight. I step out of this world into eternity, and I pray that you come and renew my spirit and give me a new life. I pray that in the only name in heaven and on the earth by which man can be saved, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Let's just give God a shout in this place. Hallelujah. I just want to tell you, it's just a prayer. It's just a prayer. What's your name? Shamanay? The Lord is going to restore years, because there's already a joy in your life, okay? You're like, oh, is this bubbly person? But the Lord showed me that you're going to know the fountains of life springing up out of your life. It's going to be life-giving. Okay, it's not just going to be water. It's going to be life-giving waters that Jesus is going to give you. And he started tonight, okay? Don't look to your past. Don't look what you always see, the bright side of life, okay? But now you're going to begin to see him. And he's going to give you a joy, even despite your circumstances, okay? As you walk with him. So each one of you, God loves you so much. Even when you snore at night, okay? I don't know if there are any snorers here, but you know what? God loves you. He never goes to sleep. He's always focused on you. And it's so important that you discover this life. If you've committed your life for the first time tonight, you need to get baptized. Come on Wednesday or make a plan at the office, because that's the first sign of our death, our identification with the death and the resurrection of Christ. Okay? There's somebody behind you that smiles very nicely, and they're going to just pray with you for 2 or 3 minutes. We're going to ask them just to take you to that sign quickly, and we're going to just get you information and pray with you and chat a little bit with you, because you are very special to us. Okay, is that a deal? Is that cool? What's your name? Mike. Mike, are you English speaking? You say it so boldly. Yes. Okay, cool. That's cool. Okay, but we just want to really say God loves you. And won't you just turn to your right and maybe just go over to that side as there where Mariette is walking. Okay. Yes. Okay, so quickly, while we're going to pray for these people and we're going to anoint the other people in front, I want us to form groups of 2 or 3, and we're going to have a little bit of an accountability session before we're going to worship the Lord. Okay? Yeah, goals for this time, who you're praying for, and we're going to even pray for our families. Okay, we're going to spend 5 minutes praying for the lost, praying for our families. So I want us all to form groups of 2 or 3 quickly while where you're sitting, and we're going to start praying for each other, and then we're going to worship the Lord.